Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Friday, November 7th. I'm Katie Dayton for The Wall Street Journal. If you're apprehensive about the AI revolution, just wait until you hear about robot swarms. Researchers are working on teaching machines to work together like ant colonies and achieve more than solo robots ever could. We'll be hearing about why there's actually a lot to love about this very dystopian-sounding idea. Then, we're driving over to Ford, which, according to people familiar with the matter, is in active discussions to kill the F-150 Lightning, the electric version of its popular pickup truck. The decision would make the Lightning America's first major EV casualty and put a dent in the country's electric revolution. But first, we're talking about swarm robotics. That's the idea that a group of robots, from a few to a few thousand, can work together without a centralized controller. WSJ contributor Jackie Snow has been investigating how that science might show up in everyday life. Jackie, I have to say the term robot swarm fills me with dread. Should I be worried that the robots are banding together?
No, and I know I feel like this is also maybe one of the most tried and true science fiction stories, a scary science fiction story, like multiple robots coming at you, like some scary flock of birds. But a lot of the use cases that we're looking at for swarm robotics would make the world potentially a better place using teeny tiny robots, nanorobots to go into your body and potentially clear out clogged arteries, having swarms of robots monitoring forests. So if a fire breaks out, it can be detected early and put out. So communities aren't in danger. So there's no Terminator-like right now for swarm robotics that serious roboticists are working on.
Got it. And you just mentioned there micro robots that can go inside your body. That sounds like a fascinating case. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah, that is an area that there's a lot of research on because there's lots of parts of our body that are hard to get into and there's potentially easier ways to access them with robots. So different roboticists are working on either micro robots, which are small enough to get into some of our bigger veins and arteries to potentially clear it, or even smaller that can cross over blood barriers that require much smaller robots, and they can deliver medication, clear out problems, even go in and maybe just do checks in the future to see how the body is going. So it's a future where you swallow some robots and then they are made of biodegradable material. And once they're done, they are absorbed into your body like any other thing.
Generally speaking, what can these robot swarms do that quote unquote traditional robots can't?
Yeah, so multi-robot systems right now are something that exists that a lot of warehouses use where multiple robots work together to achieve a task. And what's different there is there's a lot more human control, which is fine and really useful. But once you start to get past maybe 10 robots, a human can't really orchestrate that effectively. So the robots that are communicating together, whereas like that might just be them sensing each other to know like how far apart they are, those are able to achieve tasks that a human just trying to handle dozens of robots wouldn't be able to do. So it really opens up more use cases where a lot of robots would be helpful.
And to take a step back, are these groups of robots programmed or controlled any differently?
Yeah, robot swarms are still usually having a human saying, like, the goal is to go monitor this area of forest and report if you see anything, but how that's done is not controlled by a human.
Do we have any examples of swarm robotics occurring in the real world right now?
Not yet. The roboticists I talk to think it's just a matter of time within the next few years where we start to see at least prototypes of different robot swarms going out, but it is going to be probably multiple years before we start to see that being done in a way that is commercially viable or even beyond something that's just a prototype or a trial.
And how do researchers think this technology could develop even further?
One of the interesting things I heard was, although so much of this is around tiny robots, like they could be larger robots, which as an example in the story, someone mentioned that we could start to see drone delivery, which is something that Amazon is already working on, but they're doing that single robots, but that also could be done by swarms, which would be able to potentially take larger packages because there's more robots. And the other thing I found really interesting was a swarm doesn't necessarily need to look like a giant flock of birds. A swarm could be robots where if an individual looks up, they only see a single robot in the sky. But if you had like a satellite view, you'd be like, oh, there's actually dozens around this forest. They're not super close together. So this could be something that is not super invasive seeming. It is just a solo robot to a single person, but it's multiple robots actually like working together over a larger space.
That was WSJ contributor Jackie Snow. What do you think about the coming robot swarms? If you're a listener on Spotify, let us know in this episode's poll. Coming up, how the fate of one Ford pickup truck model tells the story of America's bumpy EV revolution. That's after the break. This week, The Wall Street Journal reported that Ford is thinking of sunsetting the Lightning, its electric pickup once described by the company as a modern Model T. Ford has said the production of the Lightning is currently paused because of an unrelated supply chain issue. But does the move signal the beginning of the end for big EV trucks? Other models are struggling with sales, and automakers throughout the country are scrapping plans to make new ones. WSJ reporter Sharon Turlap has the story. Sharon, how well did the Lightning sell when it first rolled off the production line and in the years following?
It was a hot seller at first. It got great reviews. President Biden came and drove it and talked about how fast it was.
Mr. President!
This sucker's quick.
How's it drive?
So out of the gate, it did really well.
And then what happened? What sort of issues or barriers were behind the decision that we're hearing about today?
The Ford Lightning came down to earth kind of as the whole EV market came down to earth. You know, if you think about the early Teslas, these were people who were just really into this new technology. They were willing to deal with some inconveniences or some potential glitches. And certainly there were those people who bought the truck at first. But then when you started to get to people who relied on the truck for long commutes and hauling loads, the reality was with the Lightning and also generally with these vehicles, when they're in really cold weather, when they're towing or carrying heavy loads, that battery range just isn't the same. It's reduced. And also, if you think about where there are chargers and where you charge a vehicle, those are plentiful in urban areas. But when you get out to the country and even more into some of the suburbs in the middle of the country, it's just not as easy to find a charger for your vehicle.
If Ford does decide to kill the Lightning, how much of a big deal is this among the watchers of the EV industry?
It'll be the first major vehicle to vanish under the changes that have happened so rapidly this year when it comes to regulations that were compelling automakers to make EVs. So the regulations are one issue, and then the falling demand is another issue. And it would really kind of signal that this is a turning point where for a while we were getting more and more and more of these vehicles. And that's, you know, now it's starting to go in the other direction.
And obviously, this isn't just a Ford problem, right? Other car makers, automakers are struggling to shift EVs too. Can you talk us through a little bit of the other companies that are having similar issues?
General Motors is having similarly weak sales of its big trucks. And whereas Ford has the F-150 Lightning, GM came out with a string of cars. They have a Hummer pickup and a Silverado pickup and a GMC pickup and an Escalade SUV. And in an industry where these companies, GM especially, sells hundreds of thousands of cars a month, these cars, they're selling hundreds. They sold hundreds last month, not even thousands, definitely not hundreds of thousands. So they're really struggling with very, very slow sales.
With the slow sales, with everything that's happening in the White House and in Congress, what could all of this mean for the future of the EV revolution?
I don't think there's anyone saying EVs are just going away and nobody's going to drive them. You know, what we're hearing a lot of is EV growth is going to be much slower. So it's going to be more of a creep as opposed to this explosive growth. And that the EVs people buy are not, at least in the near term, going to be these very big trucks. It's going to be smaller, more affordable cars that aren't these massive investments.
That was WSJ reporter Sharon Turlap. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. If you listen to the show on Spotify, be sure to answer this episode's poll. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang. I'm your host, Katie Dayton. Jessica Fenton and Michael Laval wrote our theme music. Our supervising producer is Katie Ferguson. Jessica Fenton is our technical manager. Our development producer is Aisha Al-Muslim. Chris Sinsley is the deputy editor. And Philana Patterson is the Wall Street Journal's head of news audio. We'll be back later this morning with TMB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.